The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. The RNC is over, and I am still chuckling over the fireworks at the end. Look, there were a lot of serious and important stuff. I'll play it for you, but if you watched the network or turned it off and didn't watch the most amazing fireworks show I think I've ever seen, it was Donald Trump's thank you to all the demonstrators, I think. It just went on and on and on. He got an order on the Oval Office desk, on the Resolute desk, and said triple it, and then triple it again. It was hilarious. I chuckled. I couldn't get to sleep. I was laughing so hard. But great, great final night. Terrific political speech by the president. Set up the contrast completely. We'll play that in the next hour. The Hillsdale dialogue coming along. But let's start with the RNC video that played of Democrats talking about how they're voting for Donald Trump. Cut number four.
People assume that if I'm not a Democrat anymore, then I must be a Republican or I must be conservative. I still consider myself a liberal, but liberalism has changed, and I don't fit there anymore.
As a black kid growing up in Texas, we were taught that you had to support Democrats because Republicans were for white people, supporting the rich, and we definitely weren't rich.
Basically, our default setting is to be a Democrat.
I'm a Democrat. My parents are Democrats. I was a huge Obama supporter.
In the 2016 primary, I voted for Bernie Sanders.
I mean, I was a socialist. And it wasn't until we got married and began expecting our own family that I began to kind of question whether or not the things that we were really promoting and supporting were in line with the way we were living. And that was when the shift kind of began for us.
I was renting a room in this woman's apartment. She had three or four kids from three or four different fathers. She was my age. Most of them were incarcerated. I asked her, "What do you do?" She goes, "I'm in the system." It feels like Democrats sort of get people hooked on this drug of free money, where they basically say, you know, if you want your fix, you have to keep voting for us.
And then this bold man comes down an escalator in New York City. I couldn't come out and say it right away, but deep down inside, I knew it was going to be the first Republican that I ever voted for.
His entire campaign, Words for All Americans, that was a turning point for me.
One of the hardest things to do is to challenge your own beliefs. Going straight to the source is really how I was able to overcome some of those pitfalls. And so I want people to hear my story and know that you can actually go from being a Democratic socialist to a Trump supporter, but you have to look deeper.
I think there's a political realignment that's taking place. I've always been very anti-war, and now Trump is by a mile the anti-war candidate. I've always been very much for free speech. Trump is now by a mile the more pro-free speech candidate.
What's at stake in November is pretty much everywhere you look. You either see prosperity and liberty and things that you want to preserve, or if you're a Democrat, everywhere you look, you see something you want to tear down and remake in the image of some other country that's not as successful as we are.
I'm trying to conserve our values, our Constitution, our God-given rights, right to bear arms, freedom of speech, all the things that has always made this country great.
You know, it took me a good long time to get here, but I hope that Trump wins and that we can continue with the progress that he's made and the policies that he's put into place. Let's get our economy back on track and let's be moving in the right direction.
There are so many terrific videos, but also a lot of policy talk and contrasting talk. Senator Tom Cotton came out early and just laid down a succinct fashion the difference between President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden. Cut number 14, Senator Cotton.
Good evening. I'm Senator Tom Cotton. A lot's changed in 4 years. Back then, we gathered in a rowdy arena. Tonight, you're probably at home while I stand alone. Stands alone. That was the motto of my old Army unit, the 506th Infantry, the original Band of Brothers. From the Normandy beaches to the Iraqi desert, we fought alongside each other, but we were always prepared to stand alone. And so it is with our nation. We lead the free world, but we'll stand alone if we must to defend America. Donald Trump understands this. He puts America first. That's why America is safer now than 4 years ago. But Joe Biden would return us to a weak and dangerous past. Barack Obama's own Secretary of Defense said Joe Biden has been wrong on nearly every major national security decision over the past four decades. So let's compare the records of Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Joe Biden slashed defense spending again and again. President Trump rebuilt our military and added the Space Force. Joe Biden let ISIS terrorists rampage across the Middle East. President Trump eliminated ISIS's leader and destroyed its caliphate. Joe Biden opposed the mission to kill Osama bin Laden. President Trump avenged the murder of hundreds of Americans by killing Iran's terrorist mastermind, Qasem Soleimani. Joe Biden sent pallets of cash to the Ayatollahs. President Trump ripped up the dangerous Iran nuclear deal. Joe Biden treated Israel like a nuisance. President Trump moved our embassy to Jerusalem and brokered peace deals in the Middle East. Joe Biden coddled socialist dictators in Cuba and Venezuela. President Trump fights against communism in America's backyard and around the world. And on the Communist Party of China, there is no comparison. Joe Biden aided and abetted China's rise for 50 years with terrible trade deals that closed our factories and laid off our workers. President Trump stands up to China's cheating and stealing and lying. Joe Biden allowed Chinese fentanyl to flood across our southern border. President Trump sanctioned Chinese drug dealers for poisoning our kids. Joe Biden said Chinese communists aren't even our competitor, aren't bad folks. Just months before they unleashed this plague on the world, President Trump is clear-eyed about the Chinese threat, and he is making China pay. But China's not giving up. In fact, they're rooting for Joe Biden. America's other enemies won't give up either. But Joe Biden would be as wrong and weak over the next 4 years as he has been for the last 50. We need a president who stands up for America, not one who takes a knee. A strong and proud America is a safe America, safe from our enemies and safe from war. No one who's seen the face of war desires to see it again. Too many of our fellow Americans are already honored at the hallowed grounds of Arlington. But if we want peace, we must be strong. Weakness is provocative. President Trump's strength has kept us out of war. Joe Biden won't stand up for America. Donald Trump will. So this November, let's stand with the president and vote to keep America great.
That it can only be given by a combat veteran like Senator Tom Cotton is. It really can. And it was delivered flawlessly. I'll play after the break, Mitch McConnell. A couple bits of Donald Trump right after that. He poses a key question in cut number 16.
At the Democrat National Convention, Joe Biden and his party repeatedly assailed America as a land of racial, economic, and social injustice. So tonight I ask you a simple question. How can the Democrat Party ask to lead our country when it spends so much time tearing down our country?
It's just the key question. He also made the key point. Cut number 19.
Joe Biden is weak. He takes his marching orders from liberal hypocrites who drive their cities into the ground while fleeing far from the scene of the wreckage. These same liberals want to eliminate school choice while they enroll their children in the finest private schools in the land. They want to open our borders while living in Waldorf compounds and communities in the best neighborhoods in the world. They want to defund the police while they have armed guards for themselves. This November, we must turn the page forever on this failed political class.
He's right about that. I'll play more in the next hour. I want to remind you, it's the last couple of days of my Food for the Poor campaign. You've been so extraordinarily generous. Our friends at Food for the Poor are rushing food throughout Central and South America as famine rages in the aftermath of the virus. And we could use your help. $37 feeds one child for 6 months, two meals a day. Or you can call 855-359-4673, 855-359-HOPE, or just go to HughHewitt.com. Let the banner load at the very top, Emergency Food Relief. You've been meaning to do it. Please do it today. We're wrapping this up, and you've been very generous. Thank you. Leader McConnell is next on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. Last night, the president of the New York City Police Officers Association, Patrick Lynch, gave a terrific talk direct into camera. I want you to hear it as he and his union endorsed President Trump. Cut number... Where's Patrick Lynch?
I'm Pat Lynch, president of the Police Benevolent Association, speaking to you on behalf of 50,000 active and retired New York City police officers. We are the proud men and women who wear a shield on our chest and put ourselves in harm's way to protect our city. We are proud to endorse our president, Donald J. Trump, for re-election because the stakes have never been higher. Like cops across the country, we are staring down the barrel of a public safety disaster. More than 1,000 people have been shot in New York City so far this year. Almost 300 have been killed. These are not just numbers. These are real people. A father gunned down while holding his 7-year-old daughter's hand. A beloved neighborhood peacemaker killed by a stray bullet. A 17-year-old who made all the right choices, who worked hard to go to college and earned a sports scholarship, murdered before he can tell his mother the news. A 1-year-old child shot dead in his stroller. Innocent people... innocent lives lost. One tragedy is too many, but every day the number keeps growing. And every day our communities are asking us, why is this happening? The answer is simple. The Democrats have walked away from us. They have walked away from police officers, and they've walked away from the innocent people we protect. Democratic politicians have surrendered our streets and our institutions. The loudest voices have taken control, and our so-called leaders are scrambling to catch up with them. In city after city, they've slashed police budgets. They have hijacked and dismantled the criminal justice system. They've passed laws that made it impossible for police officers to do our job effectively. Here's the sad truth that every cop in this country knows. The violence and chaos we're seeing now isn't a side effect. It isn't an unintended consequence. It's actually the goal. The radical left doesn't really want better policing. They don't really care about making the justice system fairer. What they want is no policing. What they want is a justice system that just stops working altogether. In places where Democrats are in power, the radical left is getting exactly what they want, and our country is suffering for it. I've been a New York City police officer for 36 years. I've spent 21 of those years protecting the cops who protect New Yorkers. I've never seen our streets go this bad so quickly. I've never heard from so many cops from every corner of the country who are saying the same thing. Our hands are tied. If we're going to turn the tide and restore law and order, we cannot fall into the left's trap. There is nobody who hates bad cops more than good cops. But that doesn't matter to the radical left. To them, we're all just bad because we're all just blue. Their anti-law enforcement campaign isn't about a single incident. It isn't the result of one bad law or one bad policy. It's about a message. The message is police officers are the enemy. The message is criminals have the right to resist arrest. The message is if you commit a crime, if you victimize the most vulnerable of people, the justice system will not hold you accountable. That's the message echoing through city halls and state houses across our country. It's playing on a loop in the media. The criminals have heard that message, and they're taking full advantage. We must stop that message. We must expose the left's lies about police officers and the job that we do. And we will do that because we have something that they don't. We have a real leader. We have a powerful voice in the most powerful office in our country. We have President Donald J. Trump. Unlike the Democrats who are running in fear of the mob in the street, President Trump has never apologized for supporting police officers and standing up for law and order. Unlike the Democrats who froze in the face of rioting and looting, President Trump matches his words with his actions. He gives law enforcement the support and the tools we need to go out there and put a stop to it, period. End of story. It has never been harder to be a police officer in this country, but there are two things that keep us going. We look at the victims, the vulnerable, the regular working people who count on us. We keep strapping on our duty belts and bullet-resistant vests because we know we can't let them down. And while we do that, we hear the words of our president, who says to police officers everywhere, "I will never let you down." We know that he hasn't, and we know that he won't. We've been fortunate to have him in office these past 4 years, and we know that we cannot afford to lose him. When it comes to your safety, your family's safety, and the safety of all Americans, there's no other choice. You won't be safe in Joe Biden's America. We can have 4 more years of President Trump, or you can have no safety, no justice, and no peace.
Patrick Lynch and all the other police and the Border Patrol and the first responders, all for Trump last night. Very powerful. I'm coming right back, America, with Ann Dorn and the Mueller. Stay tuned.
When we were everyone.
Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. I had heard of David Doran, the retired St. Louis police officer's murder at the hand of rioters in St. Louis, but I had never heard from Ann Dorn, and I don't think I'll ever forget her remarks last night or watching her in the crowd as the president addressed it, and she comforted the children of another slain officer in front of her. Here is Ann Dorn from last night, cut number 12.
Hello, my name is Ann Dorn. I'd like to introduce you to my husband, David, father of 5, brother of 12, grandfather of 10, friend to thousands. He was the most kind, dedicated, loving life partner I could have hoped for. He had a big smile and a heart to match. He was blessed with the gift of gab, and that gift enabled him to touch souls and inspire people, especially young people. Oh, how kids loved him, and they really loved him back. Dave was all about service. He served 38 years in the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department and 6 years as chief of police as the Moline Acres Police Department. After 44 years, he retired from law enforcement, but he never retired from helping a friend in need. Since he befriended every person he met, he was a very busy man. One example of that was his friendship with a young man named Lee. David met him when Lee was just a kid, after members of his family were attacked and murdered. Dave took a special interest in the boy. They bonded and their friendship grew and remained strong throughout the years. Lee eventually opened a pawn shop. He trusted Dave implicitly and asked Dave to help with security. David readily agreed. Whenever the shop's alarm would go off, the alarm company called Dave. He would investigate. If he got a call after I went to bed, he would wake me up and tell me he was going to Lee's. just to make sure everything was all right. Most of the time, they were false alarms, triggered by a storm or animals. But I never rested easily until I heard Dave's key turn in the door, knowing he was home safe. The alarm that went off the morning of June 2nd was for real. It was a violent night in St. Louis. Four officers were shot. Others were hit with rocks and fireworks. At least five businesses were damaged, looted, or set on fire. As the officer wellness coordinator and CIT coordinator with the police department, I was keenly aware of the rioting and spent the evening getting ready to mobilize support for officers who were impacted. After I'd gone to bed, David received a call from Lee's alarm company. The front door of the pawn shop had been breached. This time he didn't wake me up to tell me. He probably knew I would have tried to stop him or insist on going with him. As I slept, looters were ransacking the shop. They shot and killed David in cold blood and then live streamed his execution and his last moments on earth. David's grandson was watching the video on Facebook in real time, not realizing he was watching his own grandfather dying on the sidewalk. I learned of all this around 4 a.m. when our doorbell rang. The chief of police was standing outside. I wondered why Dave had not answered the door. It wasn't uncommon for him to be up watching TV at this time. I called out to him several times. There was no reply. He just wasn't there. I let in the chief, and fighting back tears, he uttered the words every officer's spouse dreads. I relive that horror in my mind every single day. My hope is that having you relive it with me now will help shake this country from this nightmare we are witnessing in our cities and bring about positive, peaceful change. How do we get to this point where so many young people are callous and indifferent towards human life? This isn't a video game where you can commit mayhem and then just hit reset and bring all the characters back to life. Dave is never, never coming back to me. He was murdered by people who didn't know and just didn't care. He would have done anything to help them. Violence and destruction are not legitimate forms of protest. They do not safeguard black lives. They only destroy them. President Trump understands this, has offered federal help to restore order in our communities. In a time when police departments are short on resources and manpower, we need that help. We should accept that help. We must heal before we can affect change, but we cannot heal amid devastation and chaos. President Trump knows we need more Davids in our communities, not fewer. We need to come together in peace and remember that every life is precious.
She was so amazing. God bless Ann Dorn, as were Marcia and Carl Mueller, who were talking about their daughter, Kayla, who was murdered by ISIS. This is tough to listen to, but you need to hear it from last night.
My name is Marcia Mueller. This is my husband, Carl. Our daughter, Kayla, was taken as a hostage and murdered by ISIS. From a young age, Kayla was amazing. She taught herself languages, how to write music, how to play guitar. She worked with troubled youth, military veterans, and Native Americans. Everywhere Kayla went, people smiled. Kayla had a gift to be able to see the world through someone else's eyes. She became a humanitarian aid worker, and when she was helping children at an orphanage in India, Kayla wrote, "I find God in the suffering eyes reflected in mine. If this is how you are revealed to me, this is how I will forever seek you." She went to Turkey to help Syrian refugees in 2012. in August 2013, she was asked by another aid worker to cross the border into Syria to help at a hospital. On August 4th, 2013, ISIS terrorists stopped her vehicle and took her captive.
Taylor was mostly held in a 12-by-12 cell in solitary confinement. It was cold and dirty. ISIS terrorists shined bright lights in her face. They shaved her head. They beat her and tortured her. The leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, raped her repeatedly. For 18 months, she endured. And we endured an agonizing back and forth between us, the Obama administration, and ISIS. We put all our faith in the government, but the government let us down. President Obama refused to meet with us until ISIS had already beheaded other Americans. To this day, we've never heard from Joe Biden. Instead, the Obama administration had hid behind policy so much that we felt hopeless when they kept us from negotiating to save Kayla's life. The administration showed more concern for the terrorists in Guantanamo than the American hostages in Syria. The military prepared a rescue mission, but the White House delayed it. By the time it went forward, Kayla had been moved to another location. After 18 months of brutal torture, we learned from ISIS that Kayla had been killed. The Obama administration kept telling us they were doing everything they could, but their version of everything wasn't enough. What a difference a president makes. Under President Trump, U.S. Army special operators conducted a raid on al-Baghdadi's compound. After we learned that al-Baghdadi was killed, we learned something else. The operators named themselves Task Force 814 after August 14th, Kayla's birthday. And the mission was named Operation Kayla Mueller. To those soldiers, thank you. Kayla was looking down on you. The Trump team gave us empathy we never received from the Obama administration. The Obama administration said it was doing everything it could. The Trump administration is. Let me just say this. Kayla should be here. If Donald Trump had been president when Kayla was captured, she would be here today. When Kayla was a hostage, I'd go outside at night and look at the moon. I'd look at the moon and I'd promise her I'd do everything I could to get her home. Now when I see the moon, I'm reminded of my promise to her I couldn't keep.
All Kayla wanted was to make it home. We are still working to find her, and God willing, we will bring her home. Kayla was born a miracle. We were told we would never have a second child. But God gave us Kayla, and she gave herself to the world. 8 months into Kayla's captivity, another hostage was able to smuggle out a letter Kayla had written. As we read it, we could see that God was holding her in his arms. In her words, she felt tenderly cradled in free fall. She also wrote, "I have been shown in darkness light and have learned that even in prison one can be free. I am grateful. I have had many hours to think how only in your absence have I finally at 25 years old come to realize your place in my life. None of us could have known it would be this long, but know I am also fighting for my side in the ways I am able, and I have a lot of fight left inside of me. I am not breaking down, and I will not give in, no matter how long it takes." Kayla taught me so many things as her mom. She's still teaching us. Carl and I support Donald Trump because of his commitment to make and keep America great, not with the power of the government, but with the passion of people like Kayla, Americans who, even in the darkest days, always have more fight left inside of them, Americans who don't just talk, they act. That was our daughter. That's President Trump. As long as we stay strong like Kayla, as long as we refuse to break, we will be great. Thank you.
Kayla Mueller and David Dorn were failed by the United States government. the local government in St. Louis for David Dorn, the national government for Kayla Mueller. Endless respect for Ann Dorn, for Marsha and Carl Mueller. I don't know how they were able to do that, actually. But I thought, as I watched last night, look, it's a political convention. It's rowdy at times. It's boisterous at times. But interwoven in it are messages like that, which are just simply so powerful. I wanted to make sure you had a chance to hear them, along with the president, along with Tom Cotton, along with Mitch McConnell. I'll play other stuff as well. But those two, Ann Dorn and the Muellers, wow, just wow. When I come back, more, we'll play some of the more upbeat stuff. But Tarzana Joe comes back and some more convention highlights when we return, America. Stay tuned to the Hugh Hewitt Show. By the poet laureate of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Even on convention week, we turn to Tarzana Joe.
Was there a convention this week? Okay. I actually have been enjoying the convention. I know that's the general opinion. The kind of concise, pointed speeches have been, as an old high school speech maker like yourself, you should appreciate that even beyond the political aspect, right?
You betcha. Art.
All right. Here we go. I was minding my own business at a nice sidewalk cafe. I ordered the Eggs Benedict, like every other day, when suddenly a group appeared. They carried signs and banners. A girl pushed toward my table. No one taught her any manners. They said their chants and slogans were a symbol of defiance and asked me for a gesture that would signal my compliance. I guess that I was caught off guard. I didn't know what to do. But as far as gestures go, I thought of one or two. I considered my responses because I really don't like pain. Should I act like Mr. Rogers or a bit more like John Wayne? There was no way to advance my cause and nowhere to retreat, so I handed her a menu and I offered her a seat. I said don't order 20 because the hollandaise is runny. I'm guessing from what happened next she didn't think that was funny. They want to make you angry, and they want to see you frightened. It's just their way of showing they're progressive and enlightened. Don't let them have the upper hand. Don't let push come to shove. Smile, by the grace of God, and wish them peace and love. It's important that we be prepared to keep things calm and steady. Yes, the odds are it won't happen, but it's better to be ready. That's Hollandaise by Tarzana Joe.
I love that poem, Joe. I think I may carry that with me and a little card to hand out if I decide to dine out of doors. That may be necessary.
And if you want to dine out of doors, remember the best hollandaise is in Alaska because there's no place like Nome for the hollandaise.
Oh.
Hello, you?
I'm almost not going to tell people to go to TarzanaJoe.com or email their commission needs to TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. How many years have you been waiting to do that?
A good friend of ours sent that out as a Christmas card 15 years ago.
I hope you're not talking to them still. TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com if you have a poetry need. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Hugh.
Let's now listen to another RNC speech from last night. This is Debbie Flood, cut number 11.
My name is Debbie Flood, and I own a small foundry and machine shop in Wisconsin that manufactures cast bronze architectural hardware. My father, who was a World War II veteran, started the business with some used equipment and the American dream. Today, we are one of the only U.S. companies left who make our products from start to finish under one roof. We really make things, and we love it. When we lost nearly 50% of our business to China in the mid-2000s, we wondered how a small company like ours could continue to compete. At that time, Joe Biden was a senator. He voted to normalize trade with China and helped pave the way for them to join the WTO, even though they were hurting American companies like ours. But we're tenacious and we're creative. We took a risk and purchased a 3D printer. 3D printing technology allows us to do things that China can't. Now we can take a customer's idea from sketch to sample to production in just a few weeks. This opened up new opportunities for us. Later, we fought our way through the Great Recession. Then Donald Trump was elected, and we breathed a sigh of relief. He actually fought for American workers and American craftsmen. He actually cared about bringing back those three beautiful words, made in America. We no longer had to succeed despite government. Now the government was on our side. We enjoyed a thriving economy stimulated by President Trump's pro-business and pro-worker policies. Thanks to the Trump tax cuts, I've been able to raise my employees' wages so they got a pay raise and a tax cut. Even in the face of the pandemic, the president doubled down on his support for business. Thanks to President Trump, our business was approved for the Paycheck Protection Program. That allowed us to keep our people working at a time when the future was very uncertain. Our president understands that the best solutions unleash the innovation of American entrepreneurs and the creativity of American workers. Joe Biden doesn't really know anything about business or creating jobs. He spent 47 years in government, and it's doubtful that he'll finally figure it out in year 48. He's pledged to raise our taxes and bring back excessive regulation. I own a business whose mission it is to solve problems. Anything can be solved with a little creativity. It takes courage, commitment, and ideas. And those are all things that come naturally to President Trump. And that's why he has my support.
It was a very good night again for Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa. There were repeated returns to the fact that jobs have come back to the United States. Some have been shuttered by the virus. The virus was taken head on by Dana White. I mean, I never really expected Dana White to be that effective, the UFC founder, but he was. He was terrifically effective. I'm not going to play that. You can look that up. A lot of people have played that. Jerron Smith was... I'll play Jerron Smith when we come back. Don't go anywhere, America. Lots more from President Trump, plus the Hillsdale Dialogue this morning. As we completed the RNC, it's been a long week, a lot of late nights doing the editing and cutting, but wow, a very effective Republican National Convention is in the books. I'll tell you more about it next hour here on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.